This is David Hausman, and I'm here with Mr. David Adam, former Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service in Ghana. Thanks so much. I'd like to start by asking you about your career and how you came to be Commissioner of the IRS and the jobs that brought you to that place.
In the first place, I'm a chartered accountant by profession, trained with Coopers & Lybrand, now PricewaterhouseCoopers. I worked for 10 years with that firm and moved to Nigeria to work with another accounting firm called IE Ubor & Co. I returned to Ghana in 1986 during the period that revenue agencies were being reformed in Ghana. So I joined Internal Revenue Service as a deputy commissioner in charge of research planning and monitoring. New departments were created. Tax audit, tax examination, and I was the pioneer deputy commissioner to develop systems and procedures for this newly created functional units. Research department was also added in. After 2 years, or 2.5 years, I was transferred to be deputy commissioner in charge of finance and administration. And there, the main functions were basically to human resource management and financial management. Yeah. In 1996, when the then commissioner, Professor J.E.A. Mills, moved into politics, I became the commissioner of Internal Revenue Service.
Great, thank you so much. I'd like to ask you a bit about each stage of change in the IRS. But before I do that, can I ask you about some of the issues and challenges that were facing tax collection when the IRS was first formed as an autonomous agency in 1986? What were some of the biggest problems that you faced?
The problems before the change?
Before the change.
Well, generally, before 86, I wasn't part of the tax administration, but from literature available, it was part of the civil service of Ghana. And for that matter, the conditions of service were not the best. So tax administration had a problem of recruiting professionals, professional accountants, lawyers, and so on, to work with that institution. The institution, therefore, suffered from quality personnel to run the service. As a civil service organization, the procedures were also civil service procedures, not autonomous, should I say, forward-looking institution that will reform the systems and procedures for the administration of taxes. So for this reason, there was the need for a change.
Could you describe some of the civil service procedures that held the agency back?
Basically, say, recruitment of staff. You needed to go through Public Services Commission, where those who do the recruitment are basically not task personnel, who know exactly the caliber of person to be recruited. As a civil service organization too, there were transfers being made between the general public service. So a person could be transferred from an institution that had little to do with taxation to the tax office. That was a problem. Reforms were slow. Improvement of conditions of service for the revenue agencies was almost not practicable. So those challenges actually hampered the development of tax collection in Ghana.
And could you talk about the goals of the reform program when it began in 1986?
Well, the primary goal was to modernize tax administration in this country. To re-look at the procedures, redesign the procedures and processes, re-engineer the whole system, provide adequate funding for running of the administration. So, in a nutshell, to run it like a business entity with its clear-cut vision, mission, and objectives. So these were blurred in the civil service days.
And was there an effort at the beginning to sit down and plan the process or the order in which things would be done or who would be involved in the process?
Ask the question again.
Sorry. Many questions in one, I guess. Was there an effort to sit down and plan the process at the beginning and the order in which things would be done?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes. After the initial diagnostic studies of the existing system, a team was put together to plan the transformation and to prioritize or put in a logical order the reform system. And that began with maybe looking at the law, because every activity should be governed by a law. Okay. Should I put it down?
It's fine. Go okay. on. Yeah. So you were saying that you began with the law.
Yeah. The law was reformed. The law was enacted. That gave the authority for the new creation, the new institution. It didn't only involve Internal Revenue Service, it also involved customs. But Internal Revenue reforms were made first before this. Then the implementation process, where recruitments were initially made, and with the appropriate complement of staff, the systems and procedures were looked at, and new design of systems and procedures for implementation.
Great. Let me ask you in a bit more detail about both recruitment and redesign of systems and procedures. First, in terms of recruitment, what changes did you make and how did you go about making them?
In terms of recruitment, this is an autonomous body that had power to sign contracts. And to recruit, first, the needs were identified. and competitive recruitment process adopted to get the right complement of staff. Conditions of service was determined before the actual recruitment exercise started to make it attractive. And I think it was a lot attractive than the civil service. And therefore, the interest of people to work with the revenue agencies.
Can you describe the competitive recruitment process in more detail?
It basically involved advertising, people showing interest. Once they have been, people have shown interest, they wanted to, they would know the role that they want to play, they will be playing. And that is to say, they have their job schedule. Job satisfaction is important, and the condition of service is also important. So that is how it went.
And was there a particular group of professionals that you were targeting for hiring at that time?
Yeah, basically accountants, lawyers, and graduates. At that time, a lot of recruitment of graduates. And it was easier for the recruitment to be done because there had been exodus of Ghanaians to Nigeria. And that was the time Nigeria was getting bad and the Ghanaians were returning home. So it was easier, actually, to get the right complement of staff. As I said, I was also in Nigeria, and I was moving back home.
And were some staff let go in order to make room for the new complement of staff, or did the staff simply expand?
The transition was a difficult moment because of the infusion of new staff. That makes of old attitudes and new ones created a lot of problems. Okay. Some staff lost their jobs. They identified non-performing staff and they exited them, and new staff came in. So there was, at that time, two groups, new and the old. And sometimes it tends to be acrimonious. Yes.
And about how many staff lost their jobs?
It's difficult to tell. I don't know.
And can you say more about the acrimony between the new and the old groups? Do you remember any examples?
I particularly was taken as probably the leader of the new recruits. And there was another deputy commissioner who was leader of the old group. So we found ourselves, even at management meetings, arguing about unnecessary things. Things that would not inure to the progress of the institution. Yeah. People had a fear that new guys have come to take up their jobs. Invariably, the new ones had maybe better qualification and so on, and they were younger. The old one, those who existed, many of them have risen through the ranks. Civil service, you don't lose your job. Yeah, it's taken as a permanent for life, except in exceptional cases. Yeah, So this is what I actually call the initial problem.
And were there any ways in which you got around those tensions?
Though difficult, there was constantly the assurance that we've come to partner you to grow revenue collection for the improvement of this country. Along the line, with time, those fears were dispelled.
You mentioned before that you attracted new professional staff with improved conditions of service.
Yeah, for all.
For the civil servants who remained as well.
Yeah, for everybody. Not only for the new recruits.
And how dramatic were those improvements?
Because I wasn't part of the old system, but I do believe that at least conditions increased about threefold. Yes.
Salaries and?
Salaries and other allowances, yeah. Bonuses were established so that performance bonus, yeah, were introduced, risk allowance, other allowances. And also, vehicles were made available to staff of a certain category for use for both business and private. Yeah. So there was a remarkable improvement. Yeah. If you want to compete with the private sector for the same staff, then you need to match them in the condition of service. But gradually, along the line, we slip back to the civil service level. Of course, those who remain in the civil service were jealous of the improved conditions of service. The tax or revenue agencies were part of the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning and had the same condition as it. After hiving off the revenue institutions, I mean, the civil servants in the ministry were very jealous, and sometimes they take the decision. They convince the ministers and so on about conditions of service. What made it successful, actually, is that they created an autonomous ministry for revenue collection.
Is that the National Revenue Secretariat?
Yes. And with a very dynamic minister of state.
Was that Ato Awa?
Ato Awa, who was desirous in seeing that the reforms succeed. But gradually, as that ministry was abolished and the revenue agencies went back to the Ministry of Finance, that's where the problem started.
So did that happen in the early 1990s? Is that right?
Not very sure of when it happened, but I think the special ministry for revenue lasted about 3 years. It is just to about 90. Yeah, I'm not very sure of that. Yeah.
And you mentioned that performance bonuses were introduced.
Yeah.
Was there a system of performance evaluations?
Very simplistic. The institution is given a budget, a target to collect. You exceed it and you earn the bonus. within the institutions, just a flat, say, percentage of your income. So it's not based on the individual's performance, but the collective performance of the whole entity.
How many was the IRS divided into several such entities, or was
no,
it
no,
the whole
I mean,
IRS?
Entity means IRS. Yeah, performance of IRS. It was not departmentalized. So once IRS assists its target, and the target is collection, period. Not the number of research carried out and so on, number of audits and so on.
And about how large was the percentage?
I believe sometimes it can be as normally around 15% of the annual salary.
And how would you describe the effect of these bonuses on performance? Do you think they improved performance, or do you think it wasn't a major factor?
I think staff were very much aware of the reward, and therefore improved performance.
Can you describe the procedure that you put in place for promotion?
Okay, yeah. At the inception, policies were put in place on promotions. Most of these were carried from the civil service. And under normal circumstance, the regular promotion was after service in a particular grade for 3 years. You are invited for an interview, and when you pass the interview, you are promoted. But the promotion depended largely on availability of vacancies. For the junior rank, they wrote exams instead of interview. Yeah, so those who passed the exams, yes, were promoted. But along the line, it was difficult to keep to the rules and policies. So sometimes promotion delayed unduly. Instead of 3 years, 5 years before the interviews are held and so on. Yeah. On few occasions, there were out of turn promotions. When, say, a staff acquires a higher qualification, yes, that is can be the basis for the promotion. Exceptional performance also can be the basis for promotion.
So you mentioned before the function of reorganization of the IRS. Mm. Could you say more about how it was reorganized at first?
Mm. Well, the reorganization brought into the system functional departments. Previously, the distinction wasn't very clear. But then, with the reorganization, we had the core activity being operations department. Then we have research planning and monitoring, then finance and administration. These were the three core. There were some other peripheral department.
Sorry, what did you say the first department was?
Operations.
Operations.
Yeah, and operations involve the core activity, assessment and collection of taxes.
And how did the reorganizing affect staff? Were they actually physically moved around the building? Did they get different things to do? How did it change the life of the organization?
It changed the life of individuals a lot. Some moved from physically from where they were working to other areas. Departmental movements, regional district movement. People were moved from one district to another, and so on.
And can you describe some of the benefits of the reorganization?
Specialization was introduced. Core departments like tax audit, whereby you move out to the taxpayer's premise and carry out an audit. That brought in substantial sums of money because of evasion practices by taxpayers.
And how did that work, actually moving the collectors out?
Sorry?
How did those audits work? Did the auditors actually go to firms?
Yeah, the auditors, well, when the department was established, audit programs were designed, procedures were written out, and the auditors, after the initial training, moved to taxpayers' offices to carry out an audit. That is like external auditors too. They move to carry out. That's not the only audit. There is the desk audit carried out by operations department. We receive your assessment. I mean, it goes through an examination, then the tax officer will write to ask for further information, inform you whether he agrees or disagrees with the assessment and so on. That is different. But this one involves going to verify the facts behind the figures that have been produced. Research was introduced to go into areas and to find out what minute is against compliance with the law, and also to recommend what action to take to improve compliance, make it easier for the taxpayers to honor their tax obligations.
And as this functional reorganization took place and some staff became auditors who went to taxpayers' offices, were the new professional staff more useful than the staff that were already around, or were both sets of staff able to take part and be useful in this?
Okay, basically what was done was not to pack a particular department with new staff. So it was a mixture of old and new in various departments. There was the internal examination that had old and new. Even tax auditors, field auditors, had both old and new, but there were more of the new officers because of the specialized nature of their assignment. In the research department, though there were old hands, these are people who are trained or have had previous experience in research work. So it was a combined listing of old and new.
And how would you say this is a more kind of general question, but how would you say the old and the new attitudes merged over the years?
Well, the initial apprehension evaporated because of the goodwill of both parties. The suspicion of the old did not materialize. So, after all, we are all Ghanaians with common destiny, with common purpose, and so on. So, and once reward is fair, once allocation of assignment is fair, it is natural that people will get together and work in a more congenial atmosphere.
Great. Can I go back for a moment to the functional reorganization and ask you for a few more examples of the changes that were made?
Okay. I'll talk about task audit. Task examination is where a team goes out to our own offices to find out whether they are complying with the internal rules and regulations. A sort of internal audit, okay? But it's on the operations department. Have you assessed? Well, have you collected the monies? Is the filing done rightly? And so on. That was the first assistant commissioner who worked on that, Mr. Salas Mesa, who is now the executive secretary of the Revenue Agency's governing board. I believe you've met him. You haven't. Executive Secretary of Revenue Agency's Governing Board.
Not yet. That's Mr.
Salas Mensah.
Not yet.
He was the first of tax examination. So the effect is that he cut the prison department on his toes, okay, because they knew that their work will be audited by other people. I mentioned about research, and we had also a department or a unit in research planning and monitoring called statistics. They analyze the data collected from the field collection and so on, and provided recommendations for implementation. Statistics department also played major role in budgeting for the ensuing year, having received parameters from the Ministry of Finance. Yeah. Internal audit, financial internal audit department was also created to monitor the activities of the finance department. And as we said, now the institution, IRS, had its own human resource management department called administration. Previously, it was done centrally by institution that was responsible for recruitment and administration for the whole Ghana civil service.
And what sort of training did you offer new recruits?
Okay. The basic training is what they, is it basic professional, what they call it? Yeah. And that is for people who are being promoted from junior ranks to senior ranks, recruit of graduates. And this is basically training you in taxation, basically. So all recruits entering the senior rank go through that basic professional course. Retraining wasn't seriously carried out. So they over-concentrated on the basic professional course. Before I left, I felt the training department didn't have the capacity to handle the training needs of the institution. So I arranged with GIMPA, Ghana Institute of the Public Administration, to collaborate with us, redesign the syllabus, and jointly we run the training program on their campus. Okay, so where we internal revenue is strong, we provide the lecturers a resource person. Where they were strong, they provided, and new subjects like IT was introduced, economics and other subjects were introduced. That went on for some years, and this was actually cancelled after I left. Reason of costs, it was expensive. Though a superior program, it was expensive, and reason that people improve their market position and therefore could easily move out of IRS. There's a superior qualification, sort of a postgraduate diploma. Yeah. So they were losing most of them after the training, after spending a lot of money to train them.
And when did this joint program begin?
I say when I became commissioner, let me guess, maybe 1997 till I left in 2001 February.
And how long did that course last compared to the course that was previously offered at the IRS?
Okay. The original period, okay, let me answer it that way, for basic professional training was 18 months after recruitment.
And was that full time?
Yes, full time, yeah. And after the reorganization, it was felt the period was maybe too long to have the type of staff we require in the new dispensation. So it was reduced to 9 months. This new program, I'm not very sure, but it went for about a year. All full time. So the early part of the reorganization, there was a crash program actually to turn people out. Yeah, a lot of people have been retired and so on, and we needed a replacement quickly. Yeah.
And about what was the ratio of new recruits to old employees at that time, at the beginning?
It's a difficult question. I don't have the data, but if I should guess, for those moving immediately into the senior category, I would say over 90%. Yeah.
And overall?
Overall, I'm just guessing, maybe 30 to 40%, because the new recruits were basically senior officers, not junior officers. Yeah.
I read somewhere 28%. Does that sound believable
maybe,
to you?
That's what I said. 32, maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure.
And you mentioned also that where the IRS had good people, they would provide the lecturers, and yeah. GIMPA provided the lectures and other subjects. Which subjects were which?
Okay. We had basic taxation, tax. Yes, that was handled by office procedures. Was handled by IRS. They are better to do that. What else? What else? There was a third subject that was handled by IRS officers. I cannot remember the subject, but yeah. And GIMPA, as I said, IT, economics, and those. Yeah.
Great. Well, let me sort of move forward in time, if I can, and ask you about what changes happened later. So, happened later in the 1990s, apart from the new course that you initiated.
In respect of training.
Overall.
Ah, okay. Later in the 1990s, there were reforms like preparing the ground for later integration. So, in Internal Revenue Service, we created large taxpayer office, which was made up of all financial institutions, banks and so on, mining companies, and the big players in the market. So that is where it started. And also towards the integration, the law was passed. Establishing what we call it, Revenue Agencies Governing Board, that took place. We now also started critically to look at the informal sector. That had been problematic to us, and indeed to every tax administration. So we designed simplistic way of taxing the informal sector. We dealt with associations like transport unions, hairdressers, and so on, business associations, and empowered them, authorized them to collect taxes on our behalf. That was a way of creating the tax consciousness and also a machinery to reach every taxpayer, a very expensive exercise. The tax cost of collection is so high. Sometimes you wonder whether you shouldn't just use the limited resources on the players.
That leads me to my next question, which is eventually about the large taxpayer's office. But first, let me ask you about some of the efforts to improve district taxpayers, the tax offices, in the earlier period.
Some of the efforts to improve. Yeah. One thing that we did and failed and was on the drawing board was computerization. I don't know why. But from even when the president, now president, was commissioner, Yeah, this was on the drawing board, and it remained. It has remained to today. I can understand why the government or successive government didn't think that it is important to adequately provide the input that are necessary for cancer administration. I think that is a major failure in cancer administration of this country.
And were there efforts to decentralize the administration of taxes at the beginning of your work?
Another major introduction of the reform was the decentralization of tax administration. That is important, very important. Regional offices with more powers were created. Of course, generally regional offices coincided with political regions, and also in Accra. In Accra, there are two regions because of the mere size of the tax-paying population. If you take Accra, Internal Revenue Service, probably you would have accounted for 80% of the taxes. So, and under the regional offices were the district offices. Under the district offices were collection points. So that's how we have the head office, regional offices, district offices, and collection point. Previously, the head office was involved in the assessment and collection of taxes. That ceased with the reorganization. Regional offices too didn't have any role in the direct assessment and collection. It was done at the district level. But the law is such that certain issues will have to be referred to the head office through the region. So the decentralization was a major achievement of the reorganization.
And do you think that that improved revenue collection?
Yes, because I don't know how to say it, but what that does, there's no undue interference. Though there was still the control. That was done through the budgets that were sent to them. That was done through the monitoring of region and head office of the performance of the districts.
Given that 80% or around 80% of the taxes 80%. Come from Accra, how is it possible to achieve major gains in revenue by decentralizing?
Decentralizing was also in Accra. It wasn't only for outside Accra, because this system also existed. The head office is different from the two, two regions in Accra and the districts in Accra. I don't know, by number of districts, I can't readily tell. Though they collect 80%, maybe the number of districts was about 20% in Accra.
And when the large taxpayer's office was established, how did that affect the contribution of decentralization?
The staff didn't like it in a way, because juicy cases were taken from them to a central point. But many of these big cases are multinationals, sophisticated, and so on. So we needed to give the large taxpayer office some of the best staff to be able to handle the cases of using ingenious accounting system to cheat the system. Okay. This is okay. Yeah. So I was going to pass a comment, but it's not necessary. So I'm being recorded. This looks like an extension of Internal Revenue Service. The man who just walked in was in charge of training. He's retired. The man who was sitting there was head of Ashanti region.
Yeah. When was the large tax office established?
In IRS, I said it was about 87.
87?
Yes, I think so. In IRS. Yeah, I think so.
So did it happen at about the same time that the decentralization happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was... Okay, this came, you know, the decentralization started first, and this was added later. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But only a year later or so?
Yeah, only a year later or so, yeah.
And about how much of revenue did the large tax office account for?
So I would say maybe 55%, maybe 55%. So when you're considering your collection and the last taxpayer office results are not in, you are not sure of how you are going.
And you mentioned before that the decentralization improved tax collection both in Accra and and outside of it. How did the revenue collection actually improve? Why do you think it improved through allowing the regional offices to collect their own taxes?
How did they improve without allowing the regional offices to collect?
Why did it make revenue collection improve to allow this autonomy for regional offices?
Okay, decentralization actually meant the offices were closer to the taxpayers and therefore were able to penetrate areas that were hitherto overlooked. And with the system of giving you a projection and holding you to it, yeah, made the people conscious of their responsibilities and being they are conscious and therefore want to succeed to achieve the target.
So if you were to assess the relative role of the different reforms in increasing revenue, so human resources reforms, decentralization, and the large taxpayer office, and functional reorganization, of those four things, which do you think had the largest role in increasing revenue? Is it impossible to say?
It's difficult to say, but I think decentralization is key. Decentralization, yeah. And of course, the increase in audit also had an effect.
And the large taxpayer office?
Well, generally, the audits were carried out throughout, but concentrated in the large taxpayer office.
About how many taxpayers were taxed by the large taxpayer office?
At that time, probably in the region of just about 100. At that time, just about all financial institutions were there. All mining companies were there. It started with petroleum and mining. Then, when it was created, financial institutions, including insurance companies, and so around 100.
So, given the success of decentralization, let me ask you a little more about it and how it actually worked in practice. Did you move staff to regional and district offices? Did you simply change procedures? How did it actually work in practice?
Oh, functions and roles were changed. So that head office concerned itself with policy, procedures, and monitoring. Policy, procedures, and monitoring. The regional offices ensured the implementation of these policies, and so a sub-head office, actually. Regional office will be considered a sub-head office. Okay. Yeah. Then the action was at the district level. And one there was the eagle's eye overlooking everybody. Was working hard. Yeah.
And so, of course, a common problem with giving autonomy to smaller offices is monitoring. What were some of the things you did to keep a close eye on regional and district offices?
As we said, targets have been set. Monthly returns are received. And as I said, functional unit of statistics has been created. So they will pick the actuals, compare with targets, try and get answers for deviations. So this is constantly done. If it's getting alarming, if you're doing well, we'll call you and say, oh, thank you. If you're not doing well, you'll be reprimanded. So that alone, yeah. And it affects you staying at that position. Okay, if we believe you're not doing well, yes, we move you. And I said, I think the large taxpayer office was supposed to be the elite office, and people who want to go and work there. And it's those who were doing well that were sent there. So all those things, yeah.
And how did you actually choose the people to staff the large taxpayer office?
During promotion interviews, staff are identified, high flyers are identified, so recommendations are made for them to take higher responsibilities, apart from being promoted, yes, take challenging responsibilities, so that's how we do identify them.
And about how many staff were in the large taxpayer's office?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, about maybe 25, maybe 30.
And about how many staff did the IRS have overall?
2,500.
Great, thanks. So before we stop, let me just ask you a couple of more general questions. The first of which is, if you were writing a handbook for someone in a similar position, someone taking over an organization and reforming it, not necessarily a revenue service, but also other kinds of public organizations, what are some of the management or organizational issues that you would emphasize most?
First is modernization, keeping abreast with development in management of business organization. Computerization, another, no revenue, the use of the banking system and tax payment. You don't want everybody to walk to your office to come and pay tax. Electronically transfer the money, electronically file. So your returns, the human contact should be reduced to the barest minimum. Yeah, so copy organizations that are well managed, the systems and procedures and equipment and so on will have to be provided. I think we also have to look at work attitude, which is in the public service in particular, not up to standard. So there should be a system that enables productivity to be measured. A system that ensures that people come to work when they have to come to work, that they utilize their time efficiently for what they are paid for, and do not loiter. So measurement of productivity, I think, is start development, recruitment, training, I think is also another. It should be a continuous program. Orientation, then retraining, especially when we are taking new and different responsibility. Don't just assume that the person will be capable. There should be systems and procedures clearly defined, and clearly defined systems and procedures, and there should be monitoring of activities. Yeah.
Did you have problems with tardiness among your own staff, for example? And did you find ways of dealing with them?
Come again?
Sorry, did you have problems with your staff being late or absent?
Yes. And I think it's a public service problem in this country. Public service. It will better be solved when it is tackled holistically. Yeah, I'm actually surprised that that is not being done. I know our president is on time for every function. Others are not. So I think it needs to be tackled holistically, and the message will have to be passed on clearly to those who are responsible.
And how did you deal with it in your own organization?
I would say I failed in that area. You introduce attendance book when you arrive and so on. The supervisors who will have to ensure the implementation are not doing it. So it broke down completely.
And how do you explain some of the successes you had in spite of that?
I will say that expectations are based on circumstances of the environment. Performance could be far better. I believe it could be far better. Yes. So maybe the targets themselves have problems. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much. Is there anything you'd like to add before we stop?
Thank you for coming. Thank you for identifying me as one of the people you want to talk to. And if you require any further information or assistance in this regard, please call me.
Thanks so much.